You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. The program you're listening to is called A Voice of a People, and my name is Linda Sims. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH. If you have any questions or if you would like to connect with my guest, please call 740-383-9944. Thank you for tuning in. Now I need to share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of the People, starting with Chappies Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 382-8552. I stopped by to see Chappie today and I found out that he had been ill. And I guess he had something called E. coli, but he's doing a little better. So lift up your prayers to him. He's been a faithful supporter of A Voice of a People for like maybe 4 or 5 years now. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. And they have an ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month, 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Address again is 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, Logos Christian Ministries. No appointment necessary. Individuals simply need to, will be asked to sign in at the produce market and provide your name and number of people in your family. So if you, last week was the second Saturday, so now you have to wait till January to catch it again. All right, we also have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you, and they are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And as I read each name of my supporters, they have been supporting me from day one, and I thank each and every one of them for their continued support. I have a thought for you today. Go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the heart of others. And what better season to do that than the Christmas season? You know, everyone has a smile on their face, and please let it snow more snow than what we have, because that really just adds to the love and the laughter and shopping. Christmas, we're in Ohio, right? So we're hoping we have snow on Christmas Day only. Okay, I'm going to turn to my guest today. My guest today, Tara Dyer, former candidate for Marion County Commissioners, and Pastor Jackie Peterson of Logos Christian Ministries. And how are you two doing today?
Just fine, Miss Linda. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad. I'm elated to have you both on here today. How are you
Thanks.
Today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Great. I like multiples. We have more fun, right?
Yes.
Time goes really fast, then, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's just fun to come together and throw things around in the air, and we have our listeners, and thank you for listening once again. And I do like to, I did want to ask you, Tara, how was the election? What was it like running for the first time in an election?
Well, exhilarating, exciting. It was an experience that I will cherish. I learned a lot about the political machine and the process. I met so many good people along the campaign trail, And although I was defeated, I'm not down, and I will continue to advocate for those issues that I stood strong for, which unity in this community, voter registration, voter suppression. You know, we had an historic turnout of like 50% of voters came out. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think that was amazing. And just voter education, you know, letting people know that it is a privilege. And you're right, many people died for your privilege to vote. So, you know, I'm going to meet with some of my staunch supporters and volunteers and try to determine what my next adventure will be.
Right.
You know, in 19, we got a lot of positions open and Board of Education. We have a lot of seats that we need to get back. We, meaning the Democrats, need mm-hmm. to get back that are on City Council. And then maybe I'll just get out there and work for the candidates that are in my party that are trying to make a difference in this city. So it was great, and, you know, my family was great. My children were awesome, and, you know, they were out there, pounding the pavements
right.
with me. And
right.
I had, Willie King was my financial advisor, and right. Annie Lenore, oh, my gosh, she is just like ever-ready Bunny, you know, she just kept going. And Latoya Jones, I saw something in that young person that just lit a fire in me.
Wow.
So I'm excited about the political process. And when I determine what my next path will be, I'll definitely come on the show and announce it.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that you were treated fairly throughout the whole entire process?
Well, I'm pretty sure you know that there's some things going on at the Board of Elections, and I still continue to, in my heart, I cannot believe that the margin of my loss was as huge mm-hmm. as it was. And even Ken Stiverson, who was my opponent, was, you know, he voiced his surprise because he's like, wow, you know. So, and as far as being treated fairly, sometimes you have to just go out and make your opportunities. I'm not going to just, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, this happened because of this, or, you know, mm-hmm. this happened or this didn't happen. I could have got more support, I think, from the Democratic Party. But a lot of the things that I learned on the fly, you
right.
know, and I didn't know anything about campaign finance. And Sue Schwamberger at the Board of Elections was very helpful in that process. I didn't know a daggone thing about fundraising, you know, and, you know, Pastor Jackie and, you know, even you know, I mean, there were people out there. Pastor Jackie's significant other, you know, came on. He told me early on, he said, you know what? If you close your mouth, you won't get any help. And he came on board and helped. We did an activity, Souls to the Polls, where mm-hmm. we got people out to the polls. So, you know, Jerry Peterson was wonderful. He met with people. He called the faith-based community. And so it's very helpful when you have people out there that believe as you do,
right.
that, you know, this
yes.
is a cause worth fighting for. And I'm a better person for it.
That's
you know,
great.
I'm a better person for it.
That's great. I'm glad. I mean, I'm really glad that you ran.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I
mm-hmm.
really am. And it speaks volumes, not just to myself, but the young people.
Mm-hmm.
Like Latoya. That
mm-hmm.
was her name, right?
Right.
Okay, so that gives them an avenue to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe
right.
encourage them, like, well, I can do this
yeah.
one day. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I find something I really want to stand for, you know,
yeah.
I can do this. And our young people need to know that.
They need to know that.
Yes,
yes they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, they can climb that ladder.
I agree.
Yes, yes.
You know,
that is so true.
I agree.
Because even though I didn't get that victory,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm a winner.
Yes.
Right.
You know,
you
I feel like, You know, we have to put ourselves out there, and we've got to get people around the table. And that's what we all, you know, Pastor Jackie and I talk about that all the time. Because, you know, I heard someone say the other day, if we're not around the table, then we're on the menu, you know, and they're chopping us up, you know.
That's so true.
So we got to get people that look like me. And women, even, we got to get them at the table so that you can have that diverse dialogue that's so needed in our community, that speaks to what the needs in the community are, but are also reflective of what this community looks like. I listened to your show yesterday with the Community Voices process and stuff, and, you know, I was involved in that. So the whole political process, it's only for those people who are not willing to study to show themselves approved, you know, and I was willing to do that. And I continue every day to still read, still, you know, pray about, you know, let God direct my path and those type of things. So I'm just excited about what the future holds for Tara Dyer and with the people in the community and in the Marion community in general.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
I just want to say,
how did you feel?
I'm very proud, very proud of what she did. And when I'm glad she said, I'm a winner, because I'm like, you got to win, because you do have all these younger generation coming behind us that she set the bar for them. So I told her when I called her the next day, and I texted her and said, I'm very proud of you, because it took some guts to step out, to step out of that box and to really go for it. And I think that God is proud, because I know that it built up something inside of her. And He's not through yet. So just keep pushing, and somebody's always watching. You have to always remember that somebody's watching me. So
yeah, and you don't have to. You don't have to go to Democratic Republican meetings. You don't have to, you know, be involved. You know, but you need to be involved. You know, you don't, because many things are happening, like, right now that you don't even know about. I'm very disappointed that, you know, a lot of people aren't at those Board of Election meetings. You know, I'm disappointed in how we carry ourselves, or how we don't carry ourselves when we are faced with adversity. We just say, oh, you know, okay, you know. But they found votes that hadn't been counted at the Coliseum.
I mean, they found
so many. And then at those meetings, people were asking questions about the process, and they were shut down. You know, I mean, we pay those people, our tax dollars pay them, you know, and so you don't want to answer our questions. And then Jeff Ratliff asked for a recount of 19 precincts, paid for it, and they only gave him two. You know, so I mean, you know, I mean, it's just so.
But is that fair? Do you consider that being fair? All the votes are not in when they needed to be counted. Were they ever counted?
They were counted, and
there are a lot of races still they're contesting.
I know. Look, North Carolina.
Right.
You know what happened to Stacey Abrams in Georgia?
Right.
You know, let's not go to Florida. It can happen in this little community.
Yes,
you know, if people are sharing their little secrets with one another, so that it can affect races and tilt the race in a particular political party's favor, then we need to be aware of that.
That's
you
true.
Know, I mean, so I'm hoping that the Secretary of State will iron out some of those issues that we feel were unfair.
Right.
I know the chair of the Democratic committee, Kelly Carr, has been on top of it, has sent letters, and you know I have. So, so, but yeah, you know, the process is tainted, Linda, and we need to figure out a way to erase the stench, and so that the people in our community feel comfortable that when you go into that voting booth and cast your ballot, then it's going to be a fair and equitable kind of a decision. That's, you know, true. How
and
it goes.
And confidential. I'm supposed to be confidential. Yeah. But they say, oh, it's public knowledge.
They're somewhat confident. You know, when you, if you do it on a machine, they are, you know, because they don't keep track on the machine. But if you did like a provisional ballot, they have a paper copy of what you voted.
Right.
And see, and that was another thing. I know I digress, but the provisional ballots, I did a straw poll on my Facebook about people who voted provisionally, right? And so, you know, and only about 25, 30 people responded. But, you know, some of the responses were, I don't know why I voted provisional. You know, I voted here last year and I still had to vote provisionally. You know, there are certain criteria that falls under when you vote provisionally, you know. And so, you know, that was a surprise to me. The other thing with the provisional vote was we had a really huge turnout as far as provisional voters were concerned. And then the Board of Elections, before they certify the election, they need to go through and make sure nothing crazy happened. Not this was, you know, provisional votes were counted. This were, you know, and I stood up in the meeting and I said, it offends me that you want to certify this election when so many things are up in the air. It's truly offensive to me that you cannot wait for this to happen. And at the time, there were two Republicans on the Board of Elections and one Democrat. They didn't even have a full slate of Democrats to even make it equal, you know. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm learning. My friend Laura Troutman, she said, "Ooh, you've been learning so much going to all those meetings and stuff." I was like, "I need more
information."
Yeah,
information is golden.
It is
powerful.
And like
it
you
is.
Said, we need to have more people around those tables.
Yes,
so
we do. Yeah. We do.
And know what's going
yeah,
on
we have
process.
To come out of the dark. We have to.
Well, they're getting ready to change the machines too. So
yes, they are.
Yeah, and they're thinking about condensing the number of voting locations. And you can go, like, anywhere and vote. You don't have to go to Coliseum. You don't have to go to Knights of Columbus. You just go anywhere and vote. So there are changes coming as we speak, you know, and people are making those decisions without there even being a Democratic representative at the Board of Elections. So we got the Republicans. Obviously, I'm a Democrat, disclaimer.
Right.
But they got the Republican at the Board of Election, you know, being the head of it. And since they fired the Democratic representative,
now who is that?
Sue Ratliff Schwamberger.
Okay.
Yeah,
they fired her.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. That's a whole nother show. Voter suppression. That's even in our small town of Marion.
Well, politics is politics.
It is politics.
I
tell you,
well, that the candidate won't make it or whatever.
Yeah.
But let the process be fair.
Yeah, be fair.
It's a strange bedfellow.
Let the vote count.
It's a strange bedfellow.
Give me the ballot. Let me make the decision on who I'm going to vote for. And then just process it.
Right.
Yeah.
Let the votes count. Simple as that.
You sound like Dr. King. That's what he said.
Oh.
Dr. King.
Like walking along with her. Because I know
she did a lot.
I did what I could.
Right, right.
My husband really kind of took the baton and did a lot. But it was different, new.
Right.
You know, I put the sign in my yard, and matter of fact, my mom still has the sign in her yard.
Yeah, taking it down.
But you know, they say separation of church and state. Well, my church didn't endorse her. I personally endorsed her.
Right,
so, I was very proud of Tara.
Yeah,
we graduated from school together, so to see my classmate in her season age to do this, I was very proud of her. I was like, I told her, I said, you know, you got a lot of guts to do this, you know, especially because a lot of people say, oh, you know, once you hit your 60s, you shouldn't be doing stuff like this. But I'm finding out, Tara, that's the time when the fear is gone. It's like, you know, you don't fear the way you were.
No.
when you were in your 30s. So it's like, hey, what do I have to lose? You know,
season.
So, but yes, I mean, I'm very proud of her.
It was, you know, people came out of the woodwork, somebody came to my house and said, I'll take 10 Pierre Levette. It was like, can I have 5 signs, you know? Mm-hmm. And my cousin, Babe, who doesn't even, I mean, he hardly talks. All he does is take pictures, you know. He was like, yeah, I'm supporting my cousin, you know, and stuff. You know, people came out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And so, you know, let me just take this time to tell people thank you for that, you know. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your faith in me. And I'm not done yet, you know. But it just burns me up, Linda, that it was party over what you know is right. So you voted for a guy that doesn't even know what Facebook Live is, told you that he was in the 18th century when he came in, and now he's in the 20th century. Did not work for the people's vote. You hardly saw any Ken Stuyvesant signs or anything. Did not work for the people's vote. I beat him on candidates night, you know. I mean, I think I beat him on candidates night, you know. I mean, my educational background far outweighs his, you know. It just burns me up that people consciously voted for a person that, when you look at the merits, you know, he did not work for the people's vote.
Right.
You know, he did not. He was surprised when he won. You know, I mean, he was surprised when he won, you know, and
right.
It just burns me up that people chose that person over a person that wanted you to have transparency.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring into the commissioner's office, you know, that audio or visual where people could see. You know, there are only like 6 people that ever come to the commissioner's meeting, and the commissioners are so freaking powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and the meetings are at 9:00. So I wanted to change the meetings. I wanted to do, you know, people need to know what's going on. They didn't even know about the sheriff, you know, buying the building out there for $1.2 million. It was a surprise, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I questioned them. So what are you going to do with the old sheriff, you know, building out there? You know, we don't know yet. You know, those kind of people need to know.
Right.
know, so that they can initiate dialogue and conversation and know what's going on in Marion County. But it just drives me nuts. You know, it's like you're running the race and you're just beating, you're winning. You turn around, you look, you know, and you're comfortable. And then you look and that person has won. They've just defaulted you, you know, whether because you're, well, they say, you know, Sheriff Bailey, you know, endorse my opponent because he said, I have no experience. And I was like, wait a minute, what? You know? And I mean, so I feel like I won the race, but I lost by default. That's how I feel.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha. So we're going to move on.
Yep.
Yeah, please, because now I got to go
on
and move
on.
Because you didn't got
move
hot.
On. Now let's get
getting hot
get
here.
Move
yeah.
on.
Yep.
Next order of service.
Okay.
Accomplishments of the name change of Cass Avenue, right?
Oh, that's a big one. Yes, that's a big one. We started the actually, Tara started the process about 5 years ago.
Okay.
She said, you know, she's out there by herself, and it is beginning to manifest now.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, it's God's timing.
That's
even
true.
Though
it
may not feel good, but sometimes it's the timing. And back this summer, Tara and yourself and myself, Pastor Sean Jackson, Miss Rosalind Burt, I think it was it was a Monday, hot afternoon.
Yeah,
we, prior to that, there was some work put in.
Right.
We had to get the application. We did all of the legwork to go out to find out exactly what we needed to do.
Right.
So we went out and we canvas the street, and we got 100% of the residents on that street. We got them to sign the petition stating that they wanted Cass Avenue to be changed to MLK Jr. Boulevard. And it passed the planning state last week.
Yes.
We're so proud of that.
Yes.
And I think Tara was in a meeting last night with the city council. She can speak more to that, okay. But it's on the way. I'm excited about this change. This is a change for the community.
Yes, it is.
It's going to make a very positive impact, I think, in the community.
Yes, and this has come through Marion Minority Commission.
Yes.
Which started in 2009.
Yes.
In the city of Marion, Ohio. And I think it's congratulations to Marion Minority Commission.
Absolutely.
That we are finding our footing.
Yep.
And going forward with our agenda.
Yep.
And that is very much needed. And we all, the entire community, will be celebrating.
Absolutely.
This feat that we have, come across. And I didn't know you was working on it 5 years ago, but if I had known. She said, when I did this, Linda, just send me a text. Okay, here I come. Like last week, it was so cold. Let me get on.
But we did it.
Y'all was doing that slow stroll.
Yeah.
We were like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm so glad that you have come on board with the Marion Minority Commissioners. I know you were busy being a teacher and you're a pastor and you have your life and all those things, but we just need more people involved.
Mm-hmm.
But God don't need a whole lot of people to accomplish anything.
No.
He just don't, right?
He never did. It was always the remnant,
right.
Always the small group.
That's true.
And
that's
so true. You'd be surprised the change that just a few people can make.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have also, for me, it's always helpful when you, two or three people, that made a big difference, I think, as far as listening. I started out the process with Mike Thomas,
mm-hmm.
but we have to shout out Jason Schauber.
Absolutely.
Who's been absolutely wonderful in this whole process and stuff. And he is what's your word?
He's a
third ward
councilman.
Council person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And
yes,
Mr. Schauber has worked very, very hard. And there are deadlines because they're learning this process as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain stipulations, like you have to have 3 readings with city council. You have to have 5 consecutive weeks of a notice being placed in the paper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've got to get a notice to all the residents on that street. Have you gotten a notice yet?
No.
Okay. They got to send a notice to all the residents that are on Cass Avenue.
Right.
So it's a very, very detailed process, right. But they didn't even know what the process was because it's only happened one time in the history of Marion, and that's
right.
When they turned Seminole to Presidential Drive.
Right.
So it's a very, you got to cross your T's and dot your I's. And I was even privileged last night when I went to the meeting that one of the council people came up to me and said, why don't you think of other historical African Americans in Marion? And he said, there are literally lots of streets that we can do this process for to recognize the accomplishments of African Americans in this community.
How encouraging.
Yes.
That's so encouraging.
I tell you, it was something.
I'm thinking immediately, now, what street?
Yeah.
Mary Houston, Mother Hatch, John Garns. I mean,
That's Garns made an street. Impact
yes.
in this community.
Yeah.
Positive impacts.
Right.
Yeah.
That will also tell the history of Marion.
The history, There's a lot of rich history, even for African Americans in this city.
True.
There's a lot of rich history here.
Mm-hmm. True.
So I was very pleased, with that. And then we also remember we had to pay that $350. So, of course, there's money involved,
Course, yes.
And the county auditor had to get involved and give us, a description of the houses and the people on that street.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just got to be ready to do your homework. And, when they called us to the meeting, we're like coming with our hair. We got hats on and everything. And we're like, we're going to be there.
Absolutely.
We might not be the prettiest of sons.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm encouraged about the way the process is going,
mm-hmm.
there hasn't been any pushback.
Yeah.
It's just been just like moving forward.
Yeah, because we were like looking at each other like.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful when the planning committee the other night all voted yes. Mm-hmm. It's like my heart just leaped. I'm like, mm-hmm. wow, Marion, mm-hmm. we're part of those 41 other. What, 900 other cities
right.
in the United States okay. that's got Martin Luther King or MLK
right.
Boulevard. Right. Marion is also in that arena.
And that's, yeah.
We're in there also. Right. So that's right. something to be very proud of.
Yeah, it's a great accomplishment. Mm-hmm.
Great, yes. great accomplishment.
Yeah,
so,
that's what they labored for.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's coming to pass now. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's
it's coming to pass.
Yeah.
yeah you know.
Yeah, thanks to yes. regional planning, mm-hmm. you know, Ken mm-hmm. Lagesa. And I mean, I'm just trying to remember because we're journaling this. That's why when we came out the other day, I said, I didn't take a picture, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like Pastor Jackie, tell them the story about Mrs. Harris.
Oh, wow. This is a tearjerker to me.
Yes.
The day that we went out to get the signatures, Mrs. Hattie Harris, which was one of the oldest residents on that street. And we went to her home, and she's been confined to her house for a while.
Right.
And she's not able to speak. And we went in and introduced ourselves. Of course, she probably knew us, but we told her what we were doing. Right. And she wasn't able to even speak. But she begged for me to come closer to her.
Mm-hmm.
So that she could sign that petition. And she took her time and she signed the petition. And we have a picture of it.
Right.
And that just did my heart glad. And unfortunately, several weeks ago, she did pass away.
She did.
But to see her, we were sitting here right before the program started. And we were looking at Mrs. Hattie's signature. She was 94 years old.
Wow.
And to see her, her handwriting on this paper will mean the world to us. We would never forget that. And I showed the picture to her children to show them, Miss, your mom signed this for us. And it would have been great if she had an opportunity just to come out. We even wheeled her over to the park so she could see what was happening, because the park is right there on that street. But we're just amazed, and our hearts were touched by that. And the other thing is, nobody on the street pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said, well, yeah, that makes sense, you know.
Yes.
Everybody was willing to sign that petition, which again, the favor of God
yes.
was
yes.
there yes. for us. We didn't.
And the honoring of the older residents
yes.
who had lived there the longest
yes.
of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I hear their voices special. Whispering.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I
yes.
hear their voices. Mrs.
Yes.
Deese, you know.
Yes. Right.
Booney
right.
King.
Yes.
You know, who watched over the kids and wanted a place for their kids to play,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
The West Side used to be the place, you
oh,
know,
yeah,
where
yeah.
they
yeah.
it really,
out there, but yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yep, that was the place.
That
you
whole
remember
village,
them days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we actually lived on Cass, right there, a couple of doors down from where you're at. We were on
okay.
the corner of Cass and Creston for a while. My
oh,
family,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
where we lived, right there. And then,
that.
Of course, you know, we grew up and moved away. But
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah, we were on the West Side.
Yeah, I love that. My grandfather, Ezel Showers.
Yes.
Yeah,
he lived there, you know.
Yes.
And we were West Siders, but we were on the other side of the tracks
yes.
and stuff. There's just so much history. A
lot of history.
And I think, too, for me, you know, just being part of, we have to, what's that saying? If we, you know, if we don't look at the mistakes that we made in our history, we're doomed to
repeat them again.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we got to let people know that there was there was a whole bunch of people who were involved in this city
mm-hmm.
and making the city what it is. And you know, we got a bicentennial coming up, and we've got a lot of people making sure
that 2019?
2020.
2020. Okay.
2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're planning it now. So we got to make sure that we're inclusive and not exclusive.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So mm-hmm. Randy Winland is looking for people. We got Johnny Jackson doing his oral history. I think he mentioned that yesterday on your show, which your show was fire yesterday. Oh, I loved that show yesterday. Good. Yeah, with Whitney Gurman. And
yes.
So we got that. And then I'm doing, I'm still working on the history of African Americans in Marion, where mm-hmm. I'm collecting stuff. Mm-hmm. I've asked you for information about your church, which is on your website, mm-hmm. and the AME Church, which is 142 mm-hmm. years old.
Yes.
Mount Zion's getting 2019 to be 100 years old.
Wow.
And
mm-hmm.
So if anybody has any pictures for Mount Zion's history, mm-hmm. or for Marion, Ohio's history that they would like for me, I'll scan it, and you can take it also to the Marion Historical Society mm-hmm. and have them scan it, and they'll scan it right there, and they'll give it back to you.
Okay.
We want to see people included, you know.
Yes.
So I think the very sad part is people are taking their histories to their graves.
Yes.
You know, we're not.
Yes.
Yeah,
pass
I mean.
It on.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes. Talk about that today.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to.
Yeah.
We need to. Even recipes.
Yes.
Things
yes.
as simple
yes.
as that.
Yes.
I mean, it's simple, but
absolutely.
Yeah. It's
recipes.
Like, how did she make those tea cakes?
Right.
But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody tried to make some for me a couple of years ago. I'm like, no, these are not the tea cakes. No, but yeah, you're right. We've got to mark down that history so it can keep moving.
It's not all about leaving them money. We got to leave them something richer than that.
Yes,
that they can carry, take that torch and carry it on.
Right.
Yes,
it's like generations, like that. The Starks. By the way, my prayers go out to all the people who have lost loved ones in these last 3 days. Speaking of, so my hearts and prayers go out to you and
absolutely.
The rich history. I have forgotten that Rodlin had that hat shop.
Yes, he did.
I forgot about Seat Black Business. I forgot about that, you know. But
right downtown, maybe?
I know, the Kangos and stuff. But see, that's history.
Yeah, that's history.
Know?
That's history.
Black businesses.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. when you talk about legacy, I look at Marshall Starks, right? His dad was one. Marshall's two. He has a son that's three.
Okay.
And then Marshall has a son that's four.
Oh,
you
my.
Know, that's legacy.
Yes, mm-hmm.
You know,
is.
So now it's on you. It's incumbent on you,
right.
Marshall the fourth.
Yeah.
Not only to name your son the fifth,
right.
but also to tell him the history of what your family
yeah,
is all about.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
They need to know.
They need to know.
So
I think it strengthens an individual when they understand where they came from, why they act the way they act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think
why
it.
I can't act
like exactly. I really think it strengthens an individual to know about themselves.
Yeah, but why do you think they're so reluctant? Like my nephew, my brother is Mark 1. His son is Mark 2. And they're pregnant now. And if they have a boy, they don't want to name him Mark 3. I don't want that name. You know, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I would be like so mm-hmm. like ecstatic about the fact that you can carry. What do you think?
Yeah, they don't understand the value.
No, they don't.
Uh-huh.
No,
society
they don't.
Is demeaning the value of the family.
That's
you know,
true.
Family doesn't mean what it used to mean anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
Your
that
family.
So it's
yeah,
strong.
It's strong.
Strength.
My grandmother was strong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom, you know, there's five generations of us that's living right now. I've got to get a picture.
You
it's like my mom, myself, my son, his daughter, and she's got children.
Okay.
So there's five generations
yes.
of us.
Do that.
And it's
yes.
like, you know, my granddaughter's way in South Dakota, but it was like when she comes mm-hmm. here for, I think she's coming in March. We mm-hmm. definitely got, because my mom will be 80 in March.
Wow.
So we definitely got to get that picture. We definitely got to get that
ladies.
Picture.
And
yeah.
then you got to give it to me so I can put it in the history
yes.
of African Americans
right.
and Marion.
Yes.
They go back to, you know, the churches and with Christ Missionary.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, Deacon Barber over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all like.
It's a whole lot.
Like,
oh, yeah.
lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot there.
Yes, it is.
But we're losing it because we don't have, our children anymore don't have time. time to sit and mm-hmm. listen to these stories. Mm-hmm. They're so into the games, you know, mm-hmm. I don't, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Everything has its place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we've got to get back at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. When you're having a gathering.
Yes. Yeah,
let's come together.
Let's come together.
Just start out with some of that.
Yeah. We used to do that. We used to have everybody had to say what they were thankful for.
Yes.
And now it's like, hurry up, Pastor, and do the grace so we can eat. And it's like, we're missing it.
Yes,
we're just really missing
yes,
it. So, but we, somebody has to start it, even if we got to start from here mm-hmm. going forward,
yes.
telling our children so mm-hmm. that they can tell. But
right.
we've got to, we have to speak up.
Yes, mm-hmm. we do.
Our voices have to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
We can't let the society silence us.
No,
you can't.
It's up to us. You know, it's a guide.
It's a guide. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, Perry Rogers, speaking of stories that have people took to the grave, his family finally went through his stuff, and my friend LaShawn was, you know, posting some pictures. This guy had some pictures.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he had pictures of Miss Mary's restaurant.
Wow. We were talking about that. We were talking about that with the Historical Society, remember?
Yeah,
we were talking about
pictures.
The restaurant. Wow.
He had some pictures.
That's awesome.
And
I bet you people.
It was a long time, too.
Hmm?
It was open a long time, too, Miss
mm-hmm,
Mary's store.
Mm-hmm. But Mr. Harris, J.W., is the applicant for, and I think that was significant that you. You kind of step aside and you said, let's let history be the applicant for the name change. So we also want to thank him for doing the application and his proxy, Aria, for being able to, you know, step in and stand in the gap for him
mm-hmm.
when he's not available, because he was, at one time he was in the hospital, remember?
Yes, he was.
And couldn't,
mm-hmm.
couldn't make it and stuff. So we thank Mr. Harris, one of the, now he would be the oldest resident on that street, wouldn't he?
Yes, yes, he would, yes,
since
he
Mrs.
is now.
Harris died.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we thank Aria and the Harris family for stepping out in this historical moment and being a part of history. Aria has no choice because her mom, you know, the brick project that's over there in the Martin Luther King Park, that's her mom's legacy.
Right. Yes.
So Aria's like, yeah, I want to, you know, anything, anything I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank them. And. And anybody, you know, right now we're a committee of, who are we? Sean Jackson, Jackie Peterson, Rosalind Burke, Linda Sims, and Tara Dyer. There's five of us.
That's
you
it.
Know,
that's
so.
It. Yeah. I think we need to give a shout out to Mrs. Rosalind Burt also because they're doing some beautification things over there at the park, you know, getting those bricks back together because they've been broken up and getting some new tables, I think, doing some painting when the weather breaks.
Right,
but she's been working diligently on trying to get some funds to get that done because we want it to be a place where we're proud of. When we come, we feel safe, we're proud of, and move on and pass it on to the, pass the baton on to the next generation and make sure that they're proud of it also.
That's true.
Yeah, and we're hoping, too, to make it so safe that my friend Mrs. Howard at Hayes will feel comfortable with her students coming down there for gym class or having a picnic in that area, because that's
right
walking
there.
Distance
right
from
there.
Hayes.
Right.
Right there.
You know,
right.
So there, the possibilities are endless, you know, as to what we want to do and what we can do with that partnership. And we've got to build that area up. It's what Whitney was saying yesterday.
Yes, we do.
You know?
We do. And that's on the rise. And I thank God for that. But ladies, we are out of time.
Oh.
We'll have to do another show.
Yes.
Oh,
wow. This has been awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much,
Ms. Linda.
We should
have talked about my political stuff.
Well,
that,
that was first on the agenda, but thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio, the place for the holiday season. From 101-year-old oldest working actor in Hollywood, Norman Lloyd, reading How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Then the Who's, young and old, would sit down to a feast. And they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast! Feast, feast, feast! They would feast on who pudding? and Rahoo Roast Beast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Who's would start singing. They'd sing and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing! Ha! And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas scene, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea. An awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what to do. The Grinch laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat, and he chuckled and clucked. What a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, I look just like Saint Nick.
To legendary voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, actress, movie star Pat Carroll performing How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was very, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. Could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Then the Grinch... Merry Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast.
WWGH Radio's staff and crew would like to wish you a very happy holiday season. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.